and the reception isn't very...
Shut up and take my money!
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. And joining me this week, making his triumphant return after weeks and weeks and weeks, basically an unintentional summer hiatus, even though he kind of asked for it, please welcome back Andrew Rizzitello.
Hi, hi, hi.
And joining us, as usual, although not in an engineering capacity, Christian Cortez, Engineer Chris.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I swear we don't have a teleprompter.
Yeah, nope. No. This is all, Chris, off the cuff as always.
Yes. Chris, before we get started, I have to make this one observation. It's you and I.
Okay.
Without Jack and Ryan.
Yes.
We're going to end up talking about porn, aren't we?
We are.
Okay. Just wanted to... And Christian's off again. He's I'm done. Screw these whiteies.
He's like, I am not talking about porn. No. My mother's in the other room.
I get enough of this from Respect the Blackout. Come on.
So I honestly, I have the thing where you got, well, you guys, I mean, by what I mean is by Chris, Ryan, and Jack always made fun of me for having
an extensive porn collection.
Yeah, but the ability to talk about it openly.
Like, yeah,
I don't try and hide that.
No, I agree.
And I feel that you should.
Well, you and I both have, but you and I are also more. Maybe it's a Libra thing. You and I tend
really,
to just.
We're gonna go astrological signs.
I mean, it's a fact. I mean, if you believe in astrology, if you don't, then it's horseshit. But it's it is one of those characteristics, supposedly, where that's just something that's on your mind all the time. And it is. And I think for you and I, much more than Jack and Ryan. And the reason I draw the distinction is because with age, they definitely talk less about it, you know, for what it's worth.
Oh, my God. Yes.
So think that's part
age
of it. Where
and,
you mellow
and
out.
Marriage.
And marriage will mellow guys out as well. Will mellow out the libido. I've heard. I'm not passing judgment. Nobody tweet me and just be like, you motherfucker, just because you're not married. But incidentally, didn't mention it at the top, but we are on Zoom this week because of this was like a cursed show to even get to happen.
So, yeah.
Just because of circumstances, because Hurricane Ida derailed our plans to go to the studio earlier in the week. And then Hurricane Christian didn't show up at the studio 2 days before. So we couldn't actually get it done.
Time. It wasn't me.
Somebody's got to say it. I mean, I'm just saying, point of fact.
No, you son of a.
Oh, he froze again. Oh, another victim of Zoom. There he is. Christian's just going to play up this.
Not fair.
Hey, it happened. It was just a miscommunication, but we were there for probably like a good 2 hours. Like, I hope he's okay. Like, it turned into just like, wow, he's late. I'm kind of surprised we haven't heard from him. And then it became.
What had happened was I literally was asleep and I had figured that it was another time, but it wasn't firmly confirmed because I was like, hey, if you can do this, we'll do it. And then I didn't hear. And that's not a fault of your own. That's my own, too. I should have double checked. But when I saw the message, I was immediately mortified because I was like, oh, no.
Right.
First off, I know how far you come. Andrew, you don't matter.
No, I know I don't. Don't worry.
In this entire equation, he doesn't matter much.
But no, I felt awful because I take pride in my work and I never try to do that.
Totally.
To people. It's not that was completely by accident.
We did not think
so
that.
Please.
We did not think that the entire time. Like Chris said, honestly, it got to like, you know, 20 minutes in, we're like, oh, he's probably caught in traffic. And then it got to like the 40 minute mark. We're like, is he OK?
Yeah, it got
like,
to be about
something happened.
Yeah, I mean, we got there early. We generally get to the studio early anyway. So we got there like 7:45. We were meeting at 8:30 tentatively. So when it got to like 8:38, I'm like, he'll probably be here any minute. Because Andrew and I were joking, which we will get to if Andrew has his bottle of spirits nearby. But
I do.
You do. Awesome. Okay, we're gonna get to that.
I remember my bit.
Of course. it is and it isn't. It's not. We didn't sit and write something, all right? We don't do that much work on the show.
I don't have a bit. I just have a boombox. And I think
that's pretty fucking sweet. I'll tell you. You're like Radio Raheem Jr.
Oh, man.
I mean, in height, but you just have a much smaller boombox. And that's not a euphemism.
damn sure isn't. Anyway,
that's right. Whoa, good for you. So anyway, so yeah, we were fine. Hanging out. Well, yeah, now we know. At like 2:30 in the morning, and get a frantic message. Like, I am so sorry. It was
that's what I woke up to in the morning.
Yeah, it was funny more than anything else. I was still up. Like, I was just watching some Futurama and winding down at the end of the day, and I looked. I was like, oh shit. All right, he's okay. That's the most important thing. Never mind my dopey show.
At least the second reason wasn't my fault.
Which is?
Wasn't it your... What happened to you, Andrew?
Oh, I hurt my neck.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was also the Hurricane Ida did strike on Wednesday, so that would have been just bad news anyway. Like, it wasn't good to go anywhere. Especially because by 10 o'clock, it was a state of emergency in New Jersey anyway. But my area was, like, flooded. North Jersey, there were so many pockets that were flooded to the point where I was out when the hurricane really kicked up. And I didn't hit flooding on my way home, but it was flooded if I headed in the opposite direction on one of the main streets up here, because it's downhill. I live at high enough elevation that there was no flooding in my immediate neighborhood, but the surrounding neighborhood, it was pretty bad.
Just be lucky you don't live southwest.
Was that a hurricane or was it a tropical?
No, that was a tornado. That was considered a tornado.
Well, no, I know we had tornadoes in Jersey, but like at the same time, it was remnants of Ida. But was it still a hurricane or was it just a tropical?
No, I believe storm? It was considered a tropical storm by the time it got to us. Now, this is all meteorological stuff. And of course, because I'm the one talking, I'm going to give you all the misinformation.
Pretty much. But you know what? That's okay. Because like most of our listeners, people are using this to fall asleep. So you can go on and explain meteorological, your weather nonsense.
Well, I'll be just as successful as any other of the meteorologists. They just make up lies all the time.
Yeah, it's just guesswork. They don't know shit either.
Pretty much.
Anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
No, those were considered tornadoes. I don't know what classifies a tornado, but from every report I saw, those that hit Berlin, New Jersey, and destroyed those houses were considered tornadoes and not the actual Hurricane Ida. Because I guess because for it to be considered a hurricane, the entire storm would have to have sustained winds of... Was it 65 or 85 miles an hour or something like that? As opposed to these, where it was a single occurrence jumping all over the place.
Got it.
Don't look at me like that.
I mean, those homes that got wrecked, I mean, they were homes to OnlyFans creators, so they were probably fine.
So, oh, yeah, they got enough money.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it was Jesus shutting them down. But incidentally... Yes.
He already tried that.
That's kind of the crux of what we're going to be talking about. And even though it, you know, in internet terms, it's like a week late or internet time, I should say. But we'd been talking about it and just people have been talking about it in general. But Andrew and I have gone back and forth about it quite a bit just as an idea. And again, we don't have any. I mean, the last time Andrew was on was the crossover episode with respect to Blackout Cape 172, if you want to check it out, which was
really.
Yeah, I know. It's been that long. Literally all summer you've had off. Like, you were just asking for a couple of weeks, and I just had no use for you until now.
I see how it is.
It's like, we're talking sex work. Andrew's in. All right. I'm back, bitches. So,
what did you anyway. Say? Useless?
No, I don't wipe my ass without her permission. That's what, get it right, or she's, remember, I don't
she's gonna come back again.
You. She'll smell you out.
But yeah, Christian's just gonna throw a blanket over his head. It's like, this is my
I'm gone.
This is my cloak of invisibility. This is my cloak of invisibility. He's just gonna hide under it. Veronica's like, I can see the cloak, and he's like, shut up, you can't see me though. Anyway,
you can't see green screen.
Yeah, right. Oh my god. Yeah, so Veronica hijacked the pre-show, everybody. That clip will be coming soon. Because that's how we roll on this show. The show you get isn't the entire show that goes on. Our interactions are just a show in itself. And we take pride in that. So anyway, this idea that for a short window, OnlyFans said no more porn, basically. Nudity's fine, no more porn. And
it was
a big uproar. Now, it's one of those moves where you have to look at it and say, what a dumb idea, because look at Tumblr. I mean, I and a shitload of professional people get paid to be funny, made that observation, and probably just regular schmoes made that observation too, but it's like Tumblr said no porn and nobody uses Tumblr anymore, just to be honest. And the idea that OnlyFans has become made billions of dollars, especially during the pandemic and beyond, where they just exploded because everyone was home and starved for human interaction, really, starved for sex, everything. It just blew up last year. So the idea, honest,
I didn't know what the only reason I knew what OnlyFans was before the pandemic was because I followed models on Instagram and right. they would put their links up.
Same.
You know, and it's just like, oh, I guess this is what this platform is, because they don't want to have to go to a big company like Vivid or, you know, Bang Bros or anything like that and have to sign some kind of contract. And they'd rather do it this way. That way they can get more of a fan interaction, or I guess feel more intimate.
Or even just non-porn stars, just models, period. Like, there are plenty of just exactly. Playboy models yeah. who are on OnlyFans. So it's also like, do I create my own .com where nobody's going to go, or do I go to this website where everything is, you know, you're responsible for posting your own stuff, but at least you have control over how you manage your page. Whereas if you just have a .com, good luck getting people to find it.
To make an analogy, it was like, it was the Patreon for modeling and pornography and more explicit stuff, as opposed to Patreon, which is creators in general, but I'm not sure what Patreon rules are, but I'm assuming it doesn't include anything that's explicit.
No nudity. Yeah, exactly. You can do nudity on Patreon. There are plenty of,
but you can't do hardcore stuff.
Right.
Right. Okay. So that was, to me, that was the difference between the two companies. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's your business model. I'm not going to argue with the company.
But when you decide to shift that business model away from that to try to
something that it became so known for,
it's synonymous with adult entertainment. Yes. It really, really is. And look, there are plenty of other people on there who do different things. Of course, there are creators of all stripes who are on OnlyFans. But 95% of OnlyFans is adult. And that's me probably. I don't know if I'm exaggerating. I'm just throwing that number out there. But that's what OnlyFans is known for. Nobody openly talks about OnlyFans when talking about supporting, let's say, podcasters or musicians. You know, yeah, or musicians or people right. who do art commissions or things like that.
Here's the thing, though, that is still an active part of OnlyFans. And I think a lot of people forget that. Like, even though OnlyFans became known for pornography, which, fun fact, OnlyFans really only blew up because there was a competitor at the time. But OnlyFans blew up because it was actually referred to by Beyonce in a song. So really? People were like, what?
What, Lemonade?
Yeah. I don't know the song. I actually okay. learned this.
Andrew doesn't today. Either. No one either do I, but, except I know I don't know.
But that... After that, there was no competition. OnlyFans was the one to blow up. But artists had used it. Like, it wasn't just only for pornography. It just became known for that.
Right.
Which is really funny, because for those who don't know, I think I've talked about it a little bit on this show, but I'm working on a project called Anderson Harbor, which is yes. an adult parody of Thomas the Tank Engine. But oh, yes. I had this idea that was pretty funny to me, to do something like for a Patreon-like thing called the Anderson Harbor Yacht Club. And what I was going to do, because I thought it was hilarious, was instead of doing it on Patreon, was to do it on OnlyFans.
That would be great.
And I, because it sounds funny, and the way that it was going to be marketed was like bullshit, sexy 80s, like saxophone, like power
like Kenny like G songbird kind yeah, of stuff.
Exactly. So, so it is a platform for other creators.
Totally.
But I think that also can add to the appeal of being on OnlyFans, is because when you say it, it's just so funny, because people are like, hey, that's not what that's for, but
right
like,
yeah, meanwhile yeah, there's no rules, kind of is yeah you could yeah.
It's become a noun
yeah, yeah. like I wouldn't use that when I do my kids' music, but I would definitely use that for the adult hilarity
sure.
like that, right. That's hilarious,
right?
Of course the thing is on OnlyFans. That makes a lot of sense.
It does. Well, it's funny, people have even said to me, like, what do you know, because I've been pumping out video clips every week. There's 2 to 3 video clips on the Cape YouTube channel. If you don't already subscribe, you absolutely should. But the videos also go up on Instagram as well. The same videos go up on both platforms. They seem to get more hits on Instagram, which is interesting.
And TikTok, but, don't forget.
Well, TikTok just has the episode trailers for now, but now that they extended the limit to 3 minutes, I may start putting some of the videos a clock in under 3 minutes, which aren't many.
So what's wild filtering. Though about TikTok and OnlyFans is that I was actually in a podcast this morning with someone who was interviewing an OnlyFans creator, and it turns out from TikTok to OnlyFans has the highest transition of people going from the one platform to the other.
Really?
So if you were to, so if you were to promote your OnlyFans on TikTok, but not and not do anything lewd, obviously, mm-hmm. you would have the highest chance of having people jump from that straight to your OnlyFans.
Virality through TikTok is incredible.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
In fact, Chris, you sent me a video the other day from the creator Tizzy Rent.
Yes.
About the whole nonsense going on with COVID and everything like that. He actually just got public national acknowledgement for finding out the one woman that was creating those fake COVID passports.
Right. Don't call them passports. They're vaccine records.
Vaccine records. But
don't call them passports.
Listen, I know it's colloquialism.
It is, but at the same time, that's being perverted, which is, yes. you know, we'll get into that in a future episode.
That's another episode. I talk about that.
That's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other subject. But
back,
like, don't.
Back to the porn.
Yes.
No, but yes, yes. No, but no, but in terms of virality, like, he was on ABC News. He was in the New York Post.
Right.
All these things. So, like, you can't, as much as all of us had made fun of TikTok when it first emerged, you can't doubt the power that it has to create these 3-minute videos. Now 3 minutes, it used to be 60 seconds.
Right.
And to get information out. And some people like him are using it for, I guess you could say, for good.
Yeah.
To, you know, chaotic spread good. Knowledge and whatnot. Good.
Well, chaotic, yeah, for good. Noble reasons, to expose people who are, you know, creating a public health crisis by selling illegal documents. 100%.
But, like, when you put someone on blast like that, I always kind of consider that chaotic good.
Because the way it's disseminated.
Yeah,
because
a lot more comes from that. If it's handled a different way, then it's actual neutral good. But, like, this dude was like, nah, I'm about to wreck this woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Blast this bitch.
But, I mean, even when it comes to TikTok, just to, while we're on the subject. I actually, you know, because I was reluctant about TikTok because I'm like, whatever. Is this just going to be another version of Vine or all these other apps that have come and gone and blah, blah, blah.
I'm still reluctant of TikTok and I see it.
Yeah.
I still am, because part of me is like, it's part of me is like, this is not going to be around for another 10 years.
It's not. But the thing is, it's a crapshoot. You don't kind of know what is. I mean, I said, but here's the thing. If people don't know, because you probably don't, because I've had the handle since before Cape. Relaunch at the beginning of 2015. But the whole reason my Instagram handle is Chris Sells Out and not Chris Abalo is because I spent a solid 2 years publicly making fun of Instagram. And I was a Twitter supremacist. It's a bad word to use in regard to anything. But I was just like, people just want to look at pictures and not read. I was up my own ass about that. But anyway, I know. I see you giving me the stink eye, Christian. It's okay. I'm just saying I was Twitter over Instagram was my...
That's opinion. Fair.
But anyway, I was just kind of like publicly shitting on Instagram pretty much. But then there was a point when I realized I'm probably going to end up getting one. And sometime in like 2013, 2014, Andrew's probably going to say 2011, but
I was going to say 2012.
It may have been, I don't remember. I actually registered Chris Sells Out on Instagram because I said, there's going to be a point I'm going to use Instagram, but I just need to own it. Because I mocked it on the only podcast that matters. I'd mocked it on Facebook and probably on Twitter saying, like, isn't this so much better? But I mean, and fast forward to 2021, I spend way more time on Instagram than on Twitter. But anyway,
someone on Instagram was like, well, look who's crawling.
Exactly. Zuckerberg was like, I've got him.
That's going to be a meme. Well, before that was even before Facebook bought Instagram.
Yeah.
That was when the logo looked like an actual camera instead of just a bright icon. But I just knew, I was like, there's going to be a point where I'm going to give into this. And I do kind of see the lure. But when I was making fun of Instagram, to be fair to me, that was just when people were posting pictures of their fucking coffee and their lunch. So there wasn't as much interactivity. There weren't stories.
Or the angles
or filtering the fuck out of themselves with just like, you know, this is me with like a sepia filter.
It wasn't a unique platform yet. Like now, like even though Instagram is one of the platforms I barely use, I do know that when I post, I know that I get pretty decent like reaction from it.
Oh yeah.
So
you've shared stuff from this show and it gives it a nice bump.
Yeah. So now it's not to knock it. Maybe TikTok will grow on me as time comes. But
you know what I found, and it was the guys from Respect the Blackout. It was Munch actually. Who said, if you create, you know, you sign up for one of these platforms, you can't just put random stuff on there. You have to make it your brand. So, and I've noticed that a lot of the more successful creators, whether they're influencers or just small accounts, they stick to a specific subject. So Chris, with his through Cape, stick to just keeping up with podcasting things, and with, you know, maybe you want to do a short news blurb or something like that on your thing. I started doing a Freemasonry TikTok, and I've gained more likes and followers just from continuing on the same subject.
Right.
You know, so that not so much of what the subject is, but just because the subject is the same with every video.
Right. Well, that's also how any YouTubers built their platform, is that they have one thing. They talk about one genre, and that's kind of it. When people try to cover all sorts of areas, I mean, to be fair, it's the same could be said for podcasting. There's a reason fantasy football and true crime podcasts are always in the top 10, because people come to a show for just one thing, whereas this show is just all over the road. That's the nature of it, and that's the way I like it, because I do it because I want to. It's not a fucking job.
Right.
But it's, I get why people like having one thing as opposed to just something that's just general entertainment, which is what this, what Cape falls under.
So create the yacht club on TikTok, Christian.
There you go. Start it on TikTok and then make an OnlyFans.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a whole, there's going to be a whole push for when Anderson finally comes into fruition. It's literally just trying to figure out the best way to get eyes on it. Because what I'm worried will end up happening is that YouTube will see it and think, oh, these characters look like they're made for children.
Right.
And then knock the videos, and then that fucks everything. But with the Yacht Club, I think it will establish, okay, this is going to be a fun time and a half. So it's trying to figure out how to push it, because even though I don't want to market it as a web series too much, because I feel like there's a stigma attached to that, but I just kind of say it's a show. But the problem
seems like
is
you should start on a TikTok, or maybe through like an Instagram stories.
That's the thing. I would like to do that before I find people ripping clips from YouTube. Let's say it were to get big, if it were to be fun, and it blew up to a point where people were doing that, they would take audio clips and do their own reactions,
right, make memes out of it and stuff like
that. So I mean, I think the approach would definitely be to set up an account and start posting clips there once the show comes out. It's another window that I have to navigate now with Patreon and even a little bit of OnlyFans that I get. Because it's like, okay, it's if you like this person, you are supporting them monetarily.
Oh, absolutely. It's very direct.
You're supporting in a direct way, which is the appeal. And people want to do that.
Exactly. Now, I mean, I'm a patron of at least three individuals right now.
Right.
So here's my question for you guys. Do you appreciate the different tiers in certain things, or does it confuse you? Because some people are like, it's confusing, and I'm like, I don't see any confusion in having multiple tiers.
I believe it depends on the creator or what you're, so specifically Patreon. With OnlyFans, because you could sign up through Google, you could sign up through OnlyFans. I think it depends on how they word each tier. So like, for instance, I've talked about it before. I'm on Patreon for the Whiskey Tribe, and the lowest tier is $4 a month, and it's just to support them. They acknowledge your support, and you get your name on what they call the Wall of Magnificence in their distillery out in Texas. Okay, for $4 a month. Other than that, you get like the behind the scenes videos. You get their lenses. You know what the lenses are on Patreon? Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Okay. And you might get a video or two through YouTube through one of their direct channels. The two gentlemen, one is Daniel Whittington and the other is Rex Williams. Their individual YouTube channels are private, so they will send you the link through Patreon, and only the Patreons are able to see something that they put up.
Right. Right.
Also, and this was one of the reasons why we wanted to do this in the studio, you get early access to their alcohol,
booze, woohoo!
They are a distillery in Texas, and there's legal reasons why they can't ship to other states. So
sure,
they can, through Patreon, no matter what the tier is, you're allowed to make decisions on bottles, what kind of blends. They just finished this week. They just finished creating their still, like the pot still that actually distills their spirits and whatnot. And all of that came through the money through Patreon.
So here's the only thing about Patreon and these platforms that I've seen other people use, but I don't know if it's necessarily going to be a thing that I might use, but I would love your thoughts on this. And it's the public decision aspect of it. Mm. Because my worry is that when too many people support, like let's say the Anderson Harbor Yacht Club blew up again and it's all there, it's going great. And I had a higher tier that was like, you get to make decisions on which scripts and stuff we use in Anderson Harbor and stuff like that. My worry is like, well, no offense, as much as I appreciate the audience, what I create is up to me. So like
in that respect,
yeah.
There's two other creators I Patreon, and they have something like that in their tiers. One of them is the Masonic Roundtable, which is the smaller pin right here. Mm-hmm. And the other one is the Gentleman's Brotherhood, Brother Juan Sepulveda down in Florida. And the Gentleman's Brotherhood is literally just that. It's positivity for men, trying to make men better and in the world and whatnot like that. And depending on the tier, the highest level tier, you get access to give suggestions. And that you get like an executive producer title, so to speak, in either a video or something that they may release.
Yeah.
They do not guarantee you that your idea will make it to a show, mm-hmm. but they accept your idea in that way. So if, again, it goes back to the wording of the tier. So if you say like, you know, you're $250 a month, you get executive producer credits on the YouTube page or, you know, wherever your platform is, and you create a Discord for it so that you can communicate with all these individuals and they can give you input and whatever else. And you say like, even if your idea doesn't make it into my show and say it's on YouTube, you're still going to get executive producer credit at the end of that show because you're still giving me this amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, so okay. it comes down to legalese, essentially.
Right. And I get that. I mean, it makes sense to also support at a level where you want to contribute to something. And that's where I get the voting part, because like one of the things I floated out for the Cape Patreon, which we've talked about and haven't pulled the trigger on yet for various reasons, is something that we were going to start earlier in the year when the Patreon launched back in January. But the idea of doing monthly film commentaries where you could pop on a film and you can play the audio like through your, I mean, everybody is like an external speaker on their TVs. So it's like connect your mobile device, connect your phone to your Bluetooth on your speaker, and then just play our track while the movie's playing on your TV. It's kind of easy to do that now. Whereas like when we did a handful of movies, well, we did probably a dozen audio commentaries with the only podcast that matters. Like that technology didn't exist. Now it'd be very easy. Just connect a separate audio while the movie's playing on the TV and kind of enjoy it that way. But anyway, that hasn't really come together yet. It's something I'm eyeing to do by the end of the year, and something that was going to be part of the $10 tier. And part of that was going to be, well, we'll put some movies up to a vote. Like, what would you guys like to hear us crack wise about? What would you like to hear us, you know, talk about and watch? Like, what do you think? Muppet Christmas Carol or Die Hard? You know, just for example, like if we're going to do Well, of course, both. Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, maybe we just hit big in December and do two movies. And like, that'll be the launch. Like, hey, everybody, if you enjoy this, we'll do like one a month. Yeah. That was kind of the thought. Because there's a list. I've been conferring with all the regulars.
Obviously. One of the cooler things that I've seen on Patreon, that actually the founder of Patreon, this guy's name is Jack Conti. He's one of the co-founders of Patreon. Mm-hmm. And he has two bands that I follow called Scary Pockets and Pomplamoose. And Pomplamoose has been on YouTube for a very long time, but Scary Pockets is brand new. Their Patreon approach is actually kind of brilliant. So they'll have a $5, $10, and $15 tier, or if I think it's just $5 and $10, and then they'll have $100 tier, but they'll only limit it to 65, that only 65 people will be able to get that tier. But it's highly sought after because you get the
that's most how it is in the whiskey tribe also.
Which I think is awesome, because then it's like, oh, if there's a spot open, and if it theoretically got that popular, and there's a spot open, freaking people be chopping at the bit to get that, that one spot.
Yeah, that exact thing happens with the Whiskey Tribe. There's so many. I've actually communicated with the one woman's name is Emma. She's the head distiller. And I've asked, like, you know, is there a way to, you know, get up in a different tier? Because I'd like to give them more money because I support them. And I'd like to, you know, be recognized, I guess you'd say, kind of FOMO in a way.
Yeah.
And it, just like you described, Christian, it's limited to a specific number, depending on what, like the first two tiers are unlimited. It's only like $4 and $10. Everybody can sign up for those.
Yeah.
But the higher you go, I think the lowest number is 200 people for like the $200 tier. And there's full already. It like completely full. You can't get it. Even the $25 tier, I think they have like 750 members.
Wow.
And it's full. And like people will announce in the group chat through Patreon, like, listen, I got to change my billing cycle around this and other thing. There's going to be a spot opening up for, so look for it.
Mm, yeah. That's smart.
You know, so like almost like selling their position in a way.
In a way.
Crazy.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you have that kind of, that's why it's a great thing. Christian and I have talked about this a couple of times in various conversations over the last couple of months. But that's why it really is a great time to create anything, because you can get that fan support and you can also make things for your audience, very specific to your audience, where it's if mm-hmm. you like this stuff, or in the case where you want to limit like a premium tier where people maybe have more access or more input or whatever on products, on something like alcohol, which is a perfect example, then that's a really, really cool way to just like, well, this is our audience. These are the people who support us. They're willing to kick in money and pre-order these things. And that's pretty sweet. I mean, my first experience with doing any kind of fan funding was with Pledge Music back in 2012, because I'm a huge fan of Ginger Wildheart, one of my heroes, one of my big inspirations. And you know, I was aware of Indiegogo and Kickstarter, of course, but then there was a music-oriented platform, which sadly no longer exists because they had to go and rip off
they
fans.
Really,
and
they really
whole,
had a lot of they had a lot of problems.
They the did. End. They did. It and
was, Pledge Music was essentially that. It was like
I,
Kickstarter
I didn't hear
for
about
music.
This. Could you explain what happened with Indiegogo? I didn't hear about this.
No, Pledge Music, not Pledge Indiegogo. Music.
Oh, Pledge. All right. Either one. What you were saying, the one. No. You were saying one of them had like they were ripping off fans and whatnot.
Well, Pledge Music stopped fulfilling orders and stuff like that, and then weren't issuing refunds. I don't know if that's been resolved, but I know it was an issue maybe 2 years ago at this point. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think it got solved before they went under. I think.
Oh, definitely not. I just don't know if it's been solved since.
No, I think
no, it hasn't.
Just kind of got left in the lurch.
Which, sucks.
It was a big deal, but I think that also contributed to like this hesitancy in certain in supporting campaigns like that.
Yeah,
because you never understand truly where
you don't know. Well,
going.
I mean, getting back to the conversation about something like TikTok or Instagram and our, you know, reluctance when it came to those platforms, it's like, is this thing going to last? So when you think, you know, as a platform like Pledge Music, like, I don't know, well, that went under. So does that mean, you know, this, you know, particular website's going to last? Who knows if I support through here, if it's going to be worth it? I mean, funnily enough, I don't know if you guys know this, but are you aware that 45, a.k.a. the last sitting president, used to be part of a crowdfunding website?
Yeah, didn't he have his own?
It wasn't. He had a hand in it. I mean, he doesn't own anything, as you know.
No, of course
it doesn't take much to look into the fact that he just
everything's an LLC.
Loans his name to stuff.
Yeah.
But there was a website.
What was this called?
Fundanything.com, which... considering it was associated with him, it failed. Shock of shocks. It went under. And, you know, of course, just because once again, it's like, oh, someone's making money doing it. Let me try to get in on making money doing it, you know, because that's his MO. But I supported. Well, I wanted to kick in for Pendulette's movie and I missed the window. He did a film called Director's Cut, which was fan funded through Fund Anything. And I missed the cutoff. So I'd intended to. I did support back in 2014, when Adam Carolla was fighting against the patent trolls who were trying to claim that they had, you know, that we own these patents and that whole thing. Yeah, exactly. There was a whole fan funding thing to legally fight.
So there's this whole campaign from one specific company, I believe.
One specific company in Texas.
Yeah, where they would go around and look for patents on various
technologies.
Whether it be intangibles or things like that that had run out or didn't exist, and go sue the creator of that, claiming that they just bought the patent for whatever it was that the original creator never patented.
Well, basically, in the case of like the podcasting one, what the patent trolls were doing is they went after the big ones at the time. It was Adam Carolla, Joe Rogan, Chris Hardwick, Mark Maron. And basically what they owned the patent to was essentially, if I'm remembering it correctly, I don't want to pull an Andrew, but it was essentially a line of code which helps disseminate playlists through multiple platforms or something like that. It was something that there's an element that could be used in distributing a podcast, distributing an MP3 file, but isn't something that necessarily means you own the entire format of podcasting, essentially. But they were suing all the big names because they have deep pockets. They weren't coming after the only podcast that matters, which was rolling on a weekly basis at the time because we didn't have any money. However, those bigger shows.
Okay, so I just pulled it up. I remember these names now.
Okay.
The Electronic Foundation, the EFF.
Yes.
They won it. They were the good guys. Mm-hmm. They were the good guys in this. So I'm reading from the article right now. Mm-hmm. Back in early 2013, the podcast community was freaking out. A patent troll called Personal Audio LLC had sued comedian Adam Carolla and was threatening a bunch of smaller podcasters. Personal Audio claimed that the podcasters infringed on U.S. patent number blah, 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 which claims a system for disseminating media content in serialized episodes. The EFF.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah, exactly. These are the kind of minutiae stuff that they would go after. And now patent trolls aren't just for podcasting. They're for everything.
Yes.
You know, like, for sure. You could make a microchip and never patent that microchip. And then, you know, the patent trolls will find a patent that microchip, and then go after you for it, even though you created it.
Yeah. If you're turning a profit in anything, they will go after you for it. And the thing is, in Texas, you can get cases like that can get heard, which is why Personal Audio had a building or rented some kind of space in Texas, because Texas courts will allow you to basically sue for anything. So you can get your case heard in Texas. So they filed the suit in Texas, and that's kind of how the whole thing shook out.
And then the Supreme Court rejected Personal Audio's petition for the review, and the case is finally over.
Yeah, it was a big mess. But I kicked in because I wanted to. I mean, there was an event that was actually held in, I think, the Redondo Beach Convention Center. I did a whole episode about it because my tire blew out, and Adam Carolla actually had one of his guys take a look at my car to make sure it was okay. I did a whole episode back in the early days of CAPE about that whole experience. But anyway, it was something I supported because obviously vested interest. And also there was a perk that came with, you know, I got a T-shirt and a hat and I got to go to this event and everything, which was, it was all cool. But incidentally, that was from fundanything.com, which no longer exists because you know who was associated with it. So, of course, it fucking failed. And no surprise. But yeah, like when you have something like that or Pledge Music, I get people's reluctance to contribute to a campaign. And for the sake of being vague, there is a campaign I contributed to at the beginning of 2021, which had an aim for fulfillment in July. Now, a lot of variables with the pandemic and things like that. But I did send a message to them saying, hey, I just kind of want to know what's going on. I realize there are a lot of moving parts in what they're doing, and I'm not going to identify what the project is. I mean, I will at the point when it's public, because I did support it at a high enough tier that my name will be attached to something. But it's one of those things where I realize, like, okay, there's a lot going on. We are not operating under normal circumstances still, as much as we'd all like to be. So I realize there's a delay, but like, what's going on? Because I just kind of want to know the project's going to come to pass, because if it is, great. If it's not, because there's a lot of factors and, you know, some red tape involved given what the project is, I just kind of want to know, because if it's not going to come about, it is a chunk of change that could possibly be used, but I'm still happy to contribute it if this thing's going to come through. So yeah. I get people's reluctance to maybe support on different platforms. And look, I was even hesitant when it came to launching a CAPE Patreon. People were telling me this last summer, just because the show was rolling on a weekly basis and people were listening and they were happy to see I was doing a podcast again. And I said, I don't really want to launch a Patreon just in the hope people are going to kick some money toward me. I want to have something to post on there. So that's why I said, let me just launch at the beginning of the year. Because at that point, we'd gone to the studio, which that wasn't even a thought until last August. And, you know, I had a bunch of stuff saved, you know, video episodes from Zoom. There was some pre-show nonsense. There were some other different things that had been done on Zoom in different combinations of people, where I was like, okay, well, at least I'll have stuff to share. And with the way the dynamic goes with, well, now it's become everybody, but what started with Andrew, Ryan, Jack, and myself having a pre-show tangent.
Yeah.
It's all a whole bulk of pre-show, which is a show in itself. I thought, okay, well, there's probably going to be this on a weekly basis. Pretty much always, there's always a pre-show.
Every time there's a show, there's going to be.
Right. With few exceptions. Like, I can,
our facilities.
Yeah. Which happens all the time.
About your show is like, I just think it needs to get
that's seen. Right. Sit back and relax, Chris. He's going
to. He's going to butter me up, and I'm here for it.
This goes for your podcast. This goes for your podcast, Andrew, and this goes for yours as well,
Chris. Yes, sir.
And this goes for anybody who's trying to create media, is that if you keep at it, you will find your people, and you're slowly starting to find your people again.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's wonderful about it, is because at the end of the day, there will always be someone who's willing to throw in a buck. And if you have the one fan who's willing to throw in a buck, you can best believe there are more. And that's why, like, you get to see these creators do these awesome things beyond their initial platforms, because their Patreon and their ad revenue allows them to do so. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, we're artists. We're not rich from this shit.
No,
it's a very, not. It's a very small percentage of podcasters, creators, YouTube people that actually get into the millions. Like, you might as well get struck by lightning.
Yeah.
But if you do put in the effort, you will reap benefits.
Absolutely.
It's not billions and millions of reference in dollars, but you'll see something, and it'll be just as gratifying.
I mean, that's always been the goal for me, is just to make a living being creative. It's never to be a household name. It's never be, you know, the pie in the 100%. Sky would be like, what's that? Oh, 100%. I'm sorry. I thought I said, hold on a second. I'm like, huh? What happened? But yeah, the idea of like making a living, not like I'm going to be in the Marvel, I'm going to be in the MCU one of these days. You know what I mean? So it's the idea of like, well, I want to create, I want to be able to do my thing. And if, as long as people find it funny, if people find it interesting, if people are tuning in, cool. And if they do want to kick and support, great. But also I wanted to make sure there was something that they had on a weekly basis that I'd be able to give them, you know, for like, thanks for contributing $5 a month. You're getting an extra, you know, it always adds up to an hour plus of pre-show nonsense, you know, at the end of the month. And that's why I started doing like monthly recaps. Like, I kind of talk about the shows from the month. Which August is coming. I realize we're now a week into September, but it's like, I'm doing little things that I want to put out there just to be like, well, here's, you know, some more stuff and how this show came together and maybe things happened before and after that weren't captured on mic or on camera. Yeah. So it's cool to be able to do that for fans, because look, if they're willing to kick in and they're helping us pay for studio time, and I appreciate it. If you're a patron of the show on Patreon, your support is way appreciated. And but it's one of those things where it's like, I can do this for an audience that is actively tuning in and is actively following the show. Great.
Because they have an interest in it anyway.
Exactly.
Because they like what you do, and like which goes along with what Patreon is in and of itself, is like, we enjoy these creators so much. We want to see them not only create content, but we want to see them creating the content.
Right.
You know, like, how many patrons are out there showing you like, no, this is me making the video, this is me splicing things together, and you'll just give, like, that's why the lens is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Or even if you want to go the route of OnlyFans, where you follow some model, some actress or whatever, and you know, she shows off her wardrobe to you and like, I'm gonna wear this at this shoot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get to see her naked or whatever, but it's like, you get to also see, like, Chris and I, you and I have had this conversation, how real are they? What do they look like without makeup on? You know, you're getting that backstage pass.
Well, personality. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I will follow people, and I've followed a handful as far as like paid for a handful of people on OnlyFans. There's nobody who I subscribe to on like a monthly basis, in part just because I don't have the time. Not that I'm not interested. Not that they're not attractive. It's just more like there has to be some kind of personality to it where I actually enjoy what they have to say. Where I enjoy what they're bringing to it.
I'd rather hear them talk about the coffee they buy in the morning than what they're going to be doing in the afternoon with some other person.
Totally. You know, I mean, that's why, like, even like following porn stars has never really appealed to me in that regard, because I'm not interested in like all the, I don't care what goes on behind the scenes of porn. I really don't. I mean, I'm only tuning into porn for one reason. So let's be honest.
I don't need to know any of the stupid intricate gigs that happen
exactly.
behind it.
Like, I don't need to see in hair and makeup before you're about to, you know, get a load on your face. Like, I really don't
care.
You're
going to ruin that hair and makeup?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't care about that whole process. Just for me, there are dudes who are all about it. But yes. for me, like, no, that's not shaming. My thing. Yeah, no kink shaming here. No sex work shaming, none of that. But, yeah. You know, for me, I'm more interested in, like, if they have a good personality, if they're easy to look at, of course. There are those elements for me where it's like, I like what you do. Not just for me, it's not as simple as I like how you look. But again, to each their own. Everybody has their taste. Having said that, the shitty thing about the news about OnlyFans cutting out anything explicit or hardcore or whatever was the people who were laughing at and mocking OnlyFans creators, particularly sex yes. workers who would be affected negatively by essentially you're going to get deplatformed.
Yeah.
Which sucked because, and a lot of them said this on social media, and obviously it was trending for days, for pretty much that whole week when OnlyFans announced that change. And a bunch of them said, and they were absolutely right, like, you know, nobody was laughing at you when you lost your job because of pandemic last year. Why are you laughing at us for losing, you know, a stream of income because you don't regard it as a job? Because
that right there, that phrase you said right there, because you don't consider it a job.
Right. And it is. Like, if you want to be successful with these women who are killing it on OnlyFans,
and men
generate and men that's yeah, obviously and anybody who's killing it on OnlyFans, you have to put in the work, you have to distribute regularly, you have to create stuff people that keeps people coming back. And honestly, that's one of the reference points which has made me say, like, I should probably step up the game on Patreon, and I should probably spend more time, you know, cutting together audio and video and stuff like that, because I'm thinking there are people who are killing it because they're being consistent about it. While I deliver a show every Monday, as promised to the general public, there is that element of, like, you know what? They are working and it is paying off. And in some yeah. way, the more I'm putting out there, the more it is going to pay off. And to have this library of stuff, which as the show keeps going on a weekly basis, the library keeps building and building, I thought I should probably put more effort in. Like, I honestly look at them as an inspiration in that regard, because so many of them who put out stuff daily, just based on, you know, the handful I've followed, I thought, yeah, think about that. It actually is. Like, they're working on it, and it's something they're consistently doing. Like, they need to put in an effort to plan. They're shooting it on their own. They may not be editing anything. It may just be a cell phone video or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a consideration. Something. Like, they're still putting in the time a couple of days a week to make sure that they're delivering this for their followers.
Their people.
Yes. And that's what it's about. No matter what you do. And look, just because it's sex work or nude modeling or it's just straight up porn, whatever,
you know what
fetish,
my favorite
hey,
thing,
man.
You know what my favorite thing about that whole thing was, when people were starting to be like, well, you're in sex work, that's not a real job.
Right.
Half the people that were big on Twitter that were saying that were YouTube gamers.
Oh.
And I'm just like, you right. hypocritical sons of bitches.
Yeah, yeah.
You play video games for a living, and you're telling a woman who's using what God gave her to make some extra cash.
Right.
Or what she's doing isn't a real living.
Even if plastic surgeon gave it to her, it's like she's still putting
or
in the time.
Or plastic surgeon, whatever.
But she's putting in the time. And if people yeah. are willing to pay for it, who gives a fuck? There isn't exactly. even a stigma as far as, like, what you get paid to do. I feel like that changed. I feel like there was a real shift in terms of, like, when this is my objective opinion, of course. But I feel like when it comes to making money and the whole concept of, like, selling out or doing things for money, I'm not kidding. I think it was about 8 years ago, Matthew McConaughey wins the Oscar for Best Actor, and then he goes and does, like, a Cadillac commercial or something, and it's like, oh, it's just on now. Like, once upon a time, you know, Brad Pitt and George Clooney would do commercials that were for Japan that would never air in the U.S. for money because that was frowned upon. But at that point, I'm like, wow, this dude won an Oscar, and now he's doing a car commercial. Like, it's just on, which is fine. There shouldn't be some kind of stigma. It's like, it's a job. Everybody's trying to work, and nobody wants to sit on their asses. Like, people say, like, my so-and-so, you know,
and it's also pick any of the
stars of Friends. It's like, why are they still working? They get paid. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean, like, oh, my life is fulfilled. Like, I make enough money doing this.
It's also your own personal perception of what you deem to be fun. And, like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what's so great about where we live, is like, hey, we can do what we want to do and figure out ways to make money off of it. And some people are not that fucking lucky. So,
oh, without a doubt,
as you will. But it's just crazy, because to me, my favorite thing when people are like, sex work isn't real work, my favorite thing to be like is, well, let me ask you this. Did you love Westerns as a kid? Did you like the Wild Wild West? Did you like anything involving the expansion of cowboys and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You like that? And I'm like, yeah, wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for sex workers, you fucking idiots. So
well, it's also like that's fantasy in its own way. What's wrong with that?
Like,
that was as mainstream as fuck for like, I mean, they were still making Westerns into the 70s. They had a good 30 years making Westerns. They were on TV, they were in movies.
I know, but like that whole idea of like, hey, guess what? Your favorite thing was built on.
Right.
And that's why this whole thing with OnlyFans was so fucked, is because OnlyFans built a very successful platform on the backs of sex workers. And then at the soonest available moment, turned their back on them.
Yeah.
Like a whole bunch of other previous platforms. But now, even though they said they're out of it, they just fucked themselves.
They
because
did.
Because no one is going to trust them.
Yeah. Everybody's.
And I, for one, will not. I mean, with OnlyFans, I will not support them now. Like, I know who they are. I know people are on it, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if that app died within the next 2 years.
I mean,
something else came up.
Oh, a bunch of them have come up. I mean, what's the dude's name? Is it Tiga or Tyga? I don't know how he pronounces his name, but you know who I'm talking about.
I like to think it's just Tigger and he's from Winnie the Pooh.
Okay.
It's probably Tyga.
It probably
is. I know it's Tyga.
But I really don't know. I honestly, I've only read it.
Old
I've
white
never
man
heard
syndrome.
Tigger. It's Tigga. I'm not in Homeboy's demo. All right. That's all I'm saying. But, and I'm saying Homeboy in a general way because he's a man. That's all. Anyway. But he launched one and he said he's only going to take, I think it's his platform is only going to take 10%, administrative fee or service fee or whatever it is from creators, whereas OnlyFans takes 20. And even having competition like that, it's, well, yeah, why not? Because when you see how quickly something like OnlyFans blows up and also can sync, the next platform could blow up. I mean, again, and people were saying that about TikTok. I remember having a conversation with actually my cousin, Mike Morano, who was on the show, Cape 166-ish, I think, who's a drummer in a band. And we were talking about it in Christmas of 2018. And he was talking about TikTok. He's like, everybody's saying like we should, you know, the band should do some stuff on TikTok. And I'm thinking like, why not? Because you don't know what's going to blow up. And it's true, because in 2018, I hadn't given any consideration to TikTok. But then fast forward to April 2021, where the three of us are doing a live show with Ming.
Yeah.
And the interactive element of speaking with Abigail and talking about TikTok and everything, it was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, OK. Well, I guess we should try this. And literally that episode, Cape 164, was the first episode trailer. I registered a TikTok at Cape Pod, by the way, if you're not following. And
but you're also seeing success on TikTok. Like,
I am. A lot of views. And the subscriptions have gone up for sure. The followers have gone up on Instagram as well because of that. Because that's the handle. It's, you know, in the bio. I can't seem to connect the account for some reason where it generates a link to Instagram. But I just have in the bio.
You got to create your link tree or something like that. An external.
Well, that's it. I just have in the bio. It's just IG colon Cape Pod. So
right.
I picked up Instagram followers for there, which obviously is longer form videos, and the episode trailer goes up there as well, but you're still getting two video clips a week and, you know, stuff posted in the stories and all of that. So it has had a measurable effect. I mean, just the episode trailers alone, every single one gets more views on TikTok than it does on Instagram. So you're still going to reach people more. And again, I had to eat some crow on making fun of TikTok. And that's why I said, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to shit on any other app. So I do think Vine was stupid because it was 6 seconds long. But it's like with Instagram, who knew that it would become what it would become? And I only started really posting on Instagram stories in like February. I just kind of thought like, why am I going to do that? It's going to disappear. But I've had fun doing it.
Exactly.
So I post almost on a daily basis.
Not for nothing. I think you should actually research the audience crossover between TikTok and OnlyFans. Even though I was using it as the joke for the Anderson Arbor Yacht Club, I think it also might fit your humor as well to be like, hey guys, we have an OnlyFans, but like people will go over to that
totally
more so than any other.
And I'll create a free OnlyFans and the video is going to be, hey everybody, you could really follow the show on Instagram. it'll be a free OnlyFans. And it'll be like, hey guys, thanks for checking out OnlyFans. However, you should really just go to Instagram and follow because or like upload the episode trailers to OnlyFans. Look, I wouldn't be opposed to it. People said, like I was saying earlier, and I'm sure I was probably getting to this point earlier, but that's the nature of our conversation. Goes all over the road. But,
but that's what
people
makes
this
show great. So
it
shut
does.
Up.
No, I'm not shitting on it. I embrace it.
I know.
Chaos.
I'm just being a dickhead.
I embrace the chaos of this show. But anyway, the idea of like, well, you know, YouTube might not be around forever. You know, a lot of creators on YouTube who've been at it for like a decade are talking about how YouTube, the algorithm has changed. And I've got friends who are like, I'm not getting nearly the views I used to and all of that stuff. And they're saying, well, what happens if YouTube is no longer a viable platform for you to put up video clips? I said, I mean, I could go to Dailymotion or any of those others. Or I was like, I'll put them on fucking Xvideos or Pornhub. Who cares? Everybody goes to those sites anyway. It's not like people don't know they exist. Like, if I put full cape episodes on porn tube sites, yeah, why not? If the idea is to keep them available.
I mean, one of my favorite
YouTube's not the only game out there.
One of my favorite YouTubers does that because he reviews animated content that's for adults, but YouTube always screws him. Right. So he'll put up the full episode on Pornhub or Xvideos and get great numbers. But what's funny is that while I do believe YouTube will be around for a significant amount of time, I feel like YouTube has given enough people a voice, more so than television has ever done.
Oh, yeah.
That people will not let this platform die. However, I think we'll definitely see different regime changes. I don't think this era of YouTube is going to last. I think the next boss that comes in is probably going to go in the direction of, let's make this more creator friendly, and then it's peaks and valleys. So YouTube right now is kind of at a low, moral low. Like, people are not making as much as they used to, and not for nothing, they kind of blew themselves up.
They shot themselves in the foot. Definitely,
they really did. Like, when they allowed like all this creepy children's and family content to be uploaded under the radar, and when people caught on to that, that was a whole problem.
Well, and the conspiracy theory and crazy right wing nutter and all that other stuff that's showing up on there, that's getting recommended, that is now pumping life into these movements for crazy people. That doesn't help 100%. Either, because there's not enough filtering. Meanwhile, you can't see a clip where we're debating about Skittles. That doesn't get recommended for anybody. It's like, we're debating Skittles flavors. Nope, you're more likely to see some guy talk about how brown people are coming for your jobs and, you know, shit like that.
Great clip.
Go figure. Oh, thanks, man. That one blew up. See, that's got like 120 views on Instagram in like 2 days.
That should be a TikTok.
That's fucking wild. It's too long. I may have to edit it down because it's like 3.5 minutes. But I thought about that. I'm like, that's a funny conversation. But
that's when it comes down to also to proper editing too, because like I suggested to you before, Chris, you got to do things, and Christian will get this, like with where he drops the Skittles, specifically with this clip, you drop the Skittles, you hear the bomb effect, or you get a zoom in of Ryan and you get the effect from Metal Gear Solid, that, you know, the alarm that goes off.
I would want to create a clip that's specifically for TikTok. And I've said, like, I should figure out and create clips separately for that. I'm trying to get on a rhythm with creating the clips.
Right.
The general clips that go up on YouTube and Instagram anyway, but it is something I thought, like, okay, it's paying off. I surely put some effort into it. However,
and this will be the last thing I have to bounce. Is that even though these platforms are there to help you and support you as a creator and artist, do not underestimate their power and put your best foot forward with them. Don't do something very half-assed with it.
Yes.
Because I'll fully admit, the first version of the Anderson Harbor Yacht Club was very much that. It was just, please give me your money and I'll give you some stuff.
Right.
There wasn't as much focus on the creator, me, because I was thinking of it more as a production.
Yes.
And which I still want to, because it is a show and these episodes are written ahead of time. However, I've come up to the realization that, no, if I want to make this worth it, I need to be putting in the content to do so.
Yes.
So now I think what's going to probably end up happening is that there will be exclusive monthly mini episodes of Anderson exclusively to Patreon.
Nice.
Because I want to do those monthly, after a year, we'll either put them up on YouTube once a year as like one funny anthology,
right,
or put them out on DVD. Because I found a way to do disc distribution with no overhead. And people are still asking for DVDs these days. People still want them.
Oh yeah.
And I've thought, oh, that'd be really cool to self-distribute my own show on DVD with those mini episodes.
Right.
So that, when I say put the effort into these things, it's not just passive income. You still got to do the work.
Totally. Oh, you will get out what you put into it. And again, exactly. That's why I want to make sure I'm putting more of a like a more effort into Patreon and putting stuff up for people who support, because, you know, that money just goes back into the show. I'm not going on vacation or anything like that with, you know, Patreon supporter money. God, that pissed me off. So many people I who were acquaintances of mine in Los Angeles were like fan funding for different things on like Indiegogo or GoFundMe or stuff like that. And it's like, you know, remember, this project isn't going to come without you. You know, we can't do this without your support. And meanwhile, literally, there was one show where the woman who was fundraising was in Hawaii like a week later. It's like, okay. And there's a part of me that's like trying to grind away at doing my own thing, which Cape was one of the things I was working on, where I'm like, really? Like, you got money to go on a Hawaiian vacation, but you're like, I can't produce this project without your financial support. It's like, fuck you. I hate that. I really, really, there was a bunch of people I know who did that, or even, you know, I've gotten burned on projects I've supported as well, where it's like, oh, I didn't get the perks that was promised. So I get the reluctance, but all the more reason, like, that informs the way I want to handle it, where I'm like, okay, let me make this something that I'm putting in the effort where I can deliver on what it is I'm promising, where the people who are supporting the show continue to, and it turns more people onto it. But
that's another thing entirely, where it's like bigger creators. Like, for example, I follow Adam Savage's Tested on YouTube. Right. His YouTube channel is great. They just posted a video.
Oh, by the way, I agree with your Mythbusters comment before on Facebook.
My Mythbusters comment?
Yeah, he's like, if Impractical Jokers and Jackass can be a movie, why not a Mythbusters movie? That actually is, I think that idea holds some water.
Why is this not a thing?
Yeah.
No, because, come on. Would you not go see a Mythbusters movie in theaters?
Totally.
Of course I would. Are you kidding me?
You're just blowing shit up. Of course I'd go see it.
Yeah.
Because if you do it like how the Jackass movies did it, freaking you have the option for celebrities to come in and do it. Like, you get the whole team back together. You do a tribute for Grant.
Totally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I really want that to happen. So I put that in the universe, because at least if someone sees that, please do it.
One step closer to reality.
You can get the guys from Japan that made the Gundam, you know, like, have them do something ridiculous.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, that was that. But what was I talking about?
Yeah, why'd you interrupter Jones over here? Took you off your point, goddammit.
But what did I interrupt you with? Because I had a point.
No, you were just saying, like, let me finish on this note. And it was.
Oh, no. But yeah, it was just put in the work.
I agree.
Your Patreon.
Same. Put it for whatever. And, you know, again, OnlyFans. You can't just be like, I'm charging $25 and I'm posting, you know, twice a month. It's like, fuck that.
Oh, Adam Savage.
Sorry. I had to bring it back to porn. My mistake.
No, it's okay. So Adam Savage, he has, instead of a Patreon, he has YouTube channel joins. So you can actually subscribe to the YouTube channel, but there's like different tiers of it. There's obviously the free subscription, like a normal YouTube channel.
Right.
But YouTube has a built-in Patreon feature now, where you can join that channel. And it's pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool. But I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's for like when you get past like, I think, 10,000 subscribers, then you get it. But I mean, 2000 about to hit 3. I'm getting there. But it's cool, because from what I've gathered, he'll do live streams and people will talk with him. Mm-hmm. But it's also the question of like, well, he was on Mythbusters for like 15 years. Why is he doing this channel joins? Mm-hmm. Isn't he too big for that? Is he funding? Is he funding projects that he should be paying for himself? Like, what's the line? Like, when is it inappropriate for a celebrity to do a Patreon? But with Adam, I think it works because he's not with Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tested is just his channel.
Right.
And they do a bunch of cool things. Like, just recently, he got invited to the set. Well, recently, in the last 2 years, to the set of Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah.
And he posted a video of him driving the Ecto-1.
Yeah, I saw
it's
that.
Beautiful.
It's really,
and
really
I was nerding out the whole time. But at that point, it's what's the line?
I mean, I remember I talked about this a couple of years ago when Zach Braff was doing it for
Andrew, did you happen to hear what I said?
Or about how you had the different tiers with Adam Savage, and he put behind the scenes stuff up, and he got in the Ecto-1.
No, but I mean, did you hear like what's the line for celebrities having?
Right, that's what we were talking about, like things. The idea of like
celebrities having them.
Well, like
because Adam Savage has one technically for his YouTube channel for Tested, but it's not a Patreon. It's the paid YouTube subscription thing.
Right.
Okay.
And so is that okay? But versus Zach Braff doing a Kickstarter for his movie Wish I Was Here.
Well, that's it. Like, when I brought up the Zach Braff thing, there was a lot of backlash from people saying, like, he was on a network show for all these years. Why is he asking fans for money and blah, blah, blah? And my argument at the time, and again, that was another one I missed the window because it was like a 30-day window to support it, but it was for a flat, like, $20 or something like that. You get behind the scenes in the entire process, the production process, the directorial process, post-production, all of that. And I thought, you're getting a fucking class for $20. Why wouldn't, yeah, like, I'd kick in for that. Even if I don't see the movie, and I haven't seen the movie to this day, not because I've gone out of my way to not see it because I missed supporting it. But I thought, that what a deal. You get to see how a film is made. Like, the filmmaker is going to literally take you through the process in real time for $20. What's wrong with that?
I feel the same way, where it's like, it almost goes back to that tier system where, mm-hmm, depending on, I mean, if like Spielberg or one of these giant directors turned around, yeah, I'm not going to support that. It's like, dude, you have so much clout.
You're literally worth billions.
You would,
like,
think.
Yeah, like, no. But, like, you know, if someone like, I can't even think.
I'll give an example, Andrew, because you'll understand this. Like, guitarist Steve Vai, guitar wizard. Rightfully, yes, should be worth millions of dollars. I'm sure he is.
And he's not.
And he's got a Patreon. It's just a flat $5 a month and you get everything. Right. He's had multiple tiers, but it's like he's doing it because he wants to put stuff out there. I mean, the dude's 60. He's a wizard on the guitar. If he wants to do lessons with people, do a Q&A with fans and stuff, what better a way to do it? Like, we can rebuild. We have the technology. You know, why would you not want to do that just because there's a means to do it? And at the same time, there's probably the part of him that says, look, if I could put this stuff out there and I can help other people.
I remember what I was talking about.
What, like, a great idea.
So if Joseph Gordon-Levitt turned around and said he wanted to make a movie, which he does a lot of the independent films, I believe he just came out with another one. If he came out and said, listen, I'm trying to fund a movie for something, absolutely. And if he created a tier system, or if he did something similar to what you described, Chris, where it's like a flat $20 and you get blank.
Yeah, you get, you know, with it. Vlogs and behind the scenes and all that other stuff. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think the tier system works better because it's psychologically satisfying.
Yes.
It's like, I know I've given so much, so I deserve so much.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to like, why does everybody who gets $20 do this?
Well, it'd be different if, like, somebody who doesn't need it. I mean, the argument can be made with, like, a website like Cameo. Like, I think Caitlyn Jenner is like $5,000 if you want a personal message, and all of them are like 10 seconds long. I mean, where you look at that and you say, why the fuck is this person on Cameo?
So you want to play the Cameo game? I did that for my wife.
Right.
I did that for Veronica. I bought a Cameo from Mick Foley, you know, Mankind.
Yes.
Christian, if you have any knowledge.
He's not that big a nerd. How dare you?
Any knowledge. Jesus.
Dude, I don't know if you, I'm talking how wrestling knowledge you have, but anyway.
He's judging you. He's judging
my
you.
My old friend.
Yeah.
So, but like, I bought.
Come on, aren't you lonely? you know wrestling, right?
What the hell are you doing, Christian?
He changes filter to black and white to look.
Darkness, my old friend.
Somehow, someone animate a teardrop on his face.
I did all the editing.
You just did. So you could, dude, that's just for you, man. That's a trailer clip. That's going to be right at the top or right at the end. Anyway.
On that note, I think I'm going to have
Christian's got to get
off. I got movie tickets. He does. I'm going to see Shang-Chi.
He's off.
And,
enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Thank you guys for having me. I love being part of the show. You already know.
Oh, dude, we know. We appreciate it. You bring more to it than we can't even measure it.
Show up on time next time.
Yeah, right. Don't fuck us when we're going to the studio. Oh, he's gone. Shit. Well, listen.
Despite eat shit.
I hope you choke on your raisinettes.
Change your name to anyway. Eat shit and then sign out.
Okay. You know what? Let's do it. Let's spell it. Eat shit.
Here's your clip, Chris.
We have so much goddamn fun on the show. It's ridiculous. I changed it. I don't have an heritage.
Adios, guys.
All right. Bye, Christian. See you soon.
Later.
And listen, if you want to follow Christian, you can follow him at Christian_Cordes on Instagram and follow Arcade Productions on YouTube, Arcade Player One on Twitter as well. And of course, you can follow Andrew on Instagram and Twitter at Metal_Drew and season 1 of the Extended Branch. If you're interested in Andrew's Masonic nonsense, you can check out season 1. On YouTube, coming soon to various podcast audio platforms. It's something we're literally working on right now. And making sure that gets distributed so you can listen if you don't want to look at Andrew, which, hey, I understand. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Chris Abalo and on Instagram at Chris Sells Out, like I said before. And please follow the show at Cape Pod on TikTok, lest we forget, and Instagram and Twitter. And if you're not subscribed to the show, if you've enjoyed this, subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. Give the show 5 stars. Write a little review. You can support the show on Patreon, patreon.com/CapePod, and the YouTube channel as well. You can, of course, check that out because there's 2 to 3 clips a week, including some pre-show nonsense, like some stuff you will see from what happened before we got started with this. Andrew's wife pops up and it's very, very funny. And it's good stuff. And the pre-show stuff on Patreon as well. So support the show. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks for watching. And of course, get all the links for everything at chrisabala.com or on the social media, because there's a link tree, because everything has a link tree these days. So until next time, for Christian Cordes and Andrew Rizzitello, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another experiment.